Coming up, Ukrainian's president insists his country will win the war against Russia and vowed not to give a single piece of land to Moscow. A Donegal deputy believes that accommodating Ukrainian refugees here will begin with the school community. An Inishowen councillor is calling for more supports for farmers if they're to proceed with the government's crop growing plans. And €100 is to be provided to every truck over a certain weight for 8 weeks. Good evening, Oisin Kelly will be here too with all the latest in sport, while we'll also have Nuacht with Colm Ferriter following this bulletin. First in news though, Ukraine's president insists his country will win the war against Russia and vowed not to give a single piece of land to Moscow. The defiant speech coincides with Russian troops edging closer to the capital. They could be as close as 9 miles from the city centre. Russia says it's planning to bring so-called volunteers from countries including Syria into the conflict. President Joe Biden says the US is downgrading Russia's trade status, making it harder for Moscow to export goods. America is also banning Russian imports of diamonds, seafood and vodka. Russia's communications regulator has confirmed it's restricting access to Instagram. Officials in Moscow claim the social media platform is spreading calls to commit violent acts against Russian citizens. Speaking through a translator, Ukraine's President Vladimir Zelensky is urging nations to remain defiant against Russia.
Take Europe from this precipice and from this danger to stop Europe from becoming a victim of this aggression. Ladies and gentlemen, we can do it.
A Donegal deputy believes that accommodating Ukrainian refugees here will begin with the school community. A number of primary schools in Donegal have already written to the Education Minister highlighting their willingness to help young Ukrainians arriving to the county. It's estimated that around 100,000 refugees will be housed nationwide. Speaking in the Dáil yesterday, Deputy Joe McHugh says getting students into schools quickly will be key in that transitional process.
Just on the education side, first of all, Camcorla, for many young Ukrainians and primarily their mothers, they're going to be so overwhelmed on arrival and having to deal with such a change, such a dramatic change in their lives, and deal with the trauma of the very recent past, and maybe the father's not with them, and this is going to be very difficult. And I think the first point of contact in the community is actually going to be through the schools, and already we're seeing schools facilitating so many young people, and there's a lot of schools even in my own constituency today. I was copied in an email from a primary school that has written to the Minister for Education that they're ready, willing and able and want to help and want to facilitate young people and young Ukrainians. So that process, while it is overwhelming, I would like to acknowledge all the different officials, and especially the officials and who are working closely with organisations such as DOCHAS and the Red Cross, and trying to prepare this ground for such a massive undertaking when we're talking about over 100,000 individuals. So dealing with the trauma part of it, there will be a role for the school. And I think by getting students and young people, young Ukrainians into the schools as quickly as possible to be with people their own age, I think there will be a healing, a natural healing in that regard. But obviously there will be other services needed, and I know our services are already stretched in this area, but we have to ensure that we have to have support systems for people who are dealing with severe trauma in this regard.
An Inishowen councillor is calling for more supports for farmers if they are to proceed with the government's crop growing plans. Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue is asking farmers to plant more grains as the invasion of Ukraine has sparked fears about food security in Europe. But Councillor Johnny McGuinness says a lot of farmers may not be able to afford to follow through on the plans due to the rising costs of equipment and fuel. Councillor McGuinness, who farms himself, says the government need to provide more funding.
I can speak on this subject because I have 25 acres presently that needs reseeded. Now, the cost of lime and the cost of fertilizer has just gone through the roof. The government wants us to sow crops to offset our reliance on the Russian-Ukrainian supply that's no longer available. If that's the case, then greater support is needed for the agricultural sector. They're pushing a green agenda and a green initiative, and that's fine, but they must support the farmers in order to achieve their goals and our goals.
Now, the Agriculture Minister, Charlie McConnell, he said the plan would be challenging but doable, but it's not really doable if farmers can't afford to do it.
Well, to simply put fuel in the agricultural equipment, the cost of that has gone through the roof. Now, at the moment, as far as I know, the truckers have a dispensation, or they get a refund on a portion of the cost of their fuel. And really and truly, that same scheme should be rolled out to the agricultural sector and, in fact, anybody that needs their vehicle to go to work. I would go a step further and say, at this moment in time, I think all fuel taxes should be removed immediately for the duration of this terrible situation in Ukraine. Again, I said the government must move away from their over-reliance on fuel taxation as a means of revenue towards the state. This would be a win-win for all involved.
Well, €100 is being provided to every truck over a certain weight for 8 weeks. The Transport Minister has announced an €18 million fund for hauliers, which he says will act as a relief for rising fuel prices. It will be provided for every truck which weighs over 3.5 tonnes. Richard Nolan from Nolan Transport in Wexford believes it's too little too late.
I know for a fact that the discussions on this went to the brink, and it should never have to do that. Now, maybe this will be the start of a better discussion to do something more progressive and more businesslike. We'll have to see.
The fallout of the war in Ukraine has been witnessed in Donegal. A Ukrainian captain docked in Lough Foyle received news that his wife, daughter and mother had been killed by a Russian bomb. It's believed repairs were being carried out on the ship after it experienced mechanical issues. The captain is expected to travel back to Ukraine in the coming days. Chair of the Green Party in Donegal, Michael White, told today's 9 till noon show that this incident highlights the reality of events in Europe.
This is a war situation we're in. So there's a ship in Lough Foyle where I live, and the captain of that ship's Ukrainian, and he's found out that his wife, mother and daughter died in a bomb sent by Russians. So that's just to put things in context. And that guy's trying to fly back from Belfast Airport now to go back to his house. So we are in a war situation, and I think we need to start thinking about how serious this could get.
Dennis Donaldson's family say the key question has always been, did the PSNI do enough to protect Dennis's life? A report published today by the Police Ombudsman of Northern Ireland has found that the PSNI should have carried out a further risk assessment of any potential threats to Mr. Donaldson's life following the publication of a media article which included photographs of him outside the cottage in Glenties where he was murdered just over 2 weeks later. Mrs. Marie Anderson says there was no evidence, however, the police leaked information about the whereabouts of the informant prior to his murder on the 4th of April 2006. Speaking to Highland Radio, Mrs. Anderson says there was also no evidence that the PSNI had sought to implicate members of Mr. Donaldson's family.
We looked at all of the information, all of the documentation, and there was no evidence that there was any attempt to implicate Mr. Donaldson's family in the murder. Although I understand the family's concerns in relation to this, and I believe that their complaint was investigated by this office, and there was no evidence that police sought to implicate them.
There were some speculation as to whether or not you had access to the special branch agent handler who the family have claimed they regard as a prime suspect. Were you able to, did you interview that person, or was that within the scope of this investigation?
All relevant persons in relation to the family's complaints were interviewed by my investigators.
Can you conclude, or are you satisfied that this person didn't have a role in the murder of Mr. Donaldson?
I have not identified misconduct on the part of any police officer in relation to their conduct in the circumstances leading up to Dennis Donaldson's murder and subsequently. The failing that I've identified, which is the failing to carry out a formal risk assessment after the heightened threat caused by the publication of the Sunday World article, that failing is a PSNI failing. It's a failing on the part of the organisation, because it's my honest held belief they thought that their Article 2 obligation stopped at the border. and they did not.
Seven newly sworn members of An Garda Síochána will be stationed in the Northwest region. 70 Gardaí in total have been sworn in today. They are the newest members of the force of 14,385 officers. 158 recruits are currently in training. The twin sister of Mary Boyle, who vanished in Donegal in 1977, believes her body will eventually be found. Next Friday is the 45th anniversary of Mary Boyle's disappearance from her grandparents' house in Ballyshannon. Anne Doherty believes the six-year-old was murdered because she was threatening to reveal she was abused. She's confident of a breakthrough in her sister's case.
Maybe not justice in the sense of anyone serving jail time, but I do believe that Mary's body will be found one day. I don't know when, but I do believe the secret, you know, that it never stays hidden forever. So you always find out it could take years, but everything always comes out in the long run. Even if someone were to go to jail now for Mary, it's not going to bring Mary back. So you're not really going to get justice anymore. That person would have lived their life like.
It's been claimed the fire service provision in Letterkenny is on a knife edge. Councillor Jerry McMonagall raised concerns at the latest meeting of Donegal County Council's Economic Development SPC over adequate provision of fire service personnel in Letterkenny. It's believed that there are currently 15 personnel attached to the station, with the full complement not available at all times. Councillor McMonagall says issues around recruitment need to be addressed to alleviate the situation.
A number of people leaving and retiring from the service and sickness, it sort of depleted the squads there. Normally, we would have sufficient numbers to have two units respond to any given emergency, but at the minute, that's down to one. Very concerned about that, as are the firefighters themselves.
Now, obviously, it centres around issues as it relates to recruitment, but what are those issues there? Is there a lack of a campaign on the ground, or is there simply not enough appetite there locally for people to join up?
Well, there's a number of things. It's a very demanding role. We had a presentation from the chief fire officer in relation to the training that's necessary to become a firefighter these days and the time that takes. It's also, there's a feeling that maybe our recruitment is not proactive enough and that we wait until vacancies arise before we begin a recruitment drive, and this is adding to the problem. It's something that they accepted that, yes, recruitment is an area that need to look at and become more proactive, bearing in mind the amount of training now that firefighters have to go through around health and safety, competency, medical and all of that. We can't afford anymore to wait until there's a vacancy, and it should be a rolling programme of recruitment ongoing.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time for sport. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Catherine. We're going to start with Ladies Gaelic Football. The LYIT are currently playing MTU Cork in the Higher Education Moynihan Cup Final on the Astro 3G surface at the DCU Complex in Dublin. Now, at half-time, the LYIT were leading by 3 points, 1-6 to 1-3. Lauren McBride scored the goal for the Letterkenny College in the first half, and Glenfinn's Kitty Long had stepped up with 4 of the 6 points. The second half, however, has been very much all about the Cork side, and with under 10 minutes to go, they are currently leading the LYIT 3-8 to 1-7. So MTU outscoring LYIT 2-5 to just a single point in the second half there. In soccer, this evening's League of Ireland Premier Division clash between UCD and Derry City has been postponed. The pitch at Belfield in Dublin is waterlogged and was deemed unplayable after a pitch inspection this morning. A new date will be fixed for the game soon. Meanwhile, there's no problems with the pitch at Finn Park in Ballybuffet. St Patrick's Athletic travel to Finn Harps tonight for an 8 o'clock start. Jeremy Doherty will have updates here on Highland from Finn Park this evening. Harps, of course, are hoping that they can make home advantage count and take a first league win of the season. Former Harps captain, now Drogheda United player Keith Cowan, says it's a game that Harps can take the 3 points.
I don't see any reason why not. Look, obviously, Pats again have recruited well. Tim Clancy, new manager coming in there, he'll know Harps very well, obviously, with his time at Drogheda. So he'll have them well warned about going up to Finn Park on Friday night. it's a tough enough track there at the minute, as Hearts will be using to their advantage. And, you know, as I've been a part of that over the years, and, you know, we know on that surface, you know, that we can take any team if we can turn it into a battle. So that's what Hearts would have been looking to do, as they showed against Bowes, getting a great point last week, and, you know, coming from 1-0 down, right, Conley scoring a great goal. So they get to get them back and to get their first points on the board. So, yeah, look, it'll be tough. Obviously, we know the quality that Pats have, and, you know, they had a, you know, they'll be buoyed by, you know, a 1-0 win last week against Shamrock Rovers. So they'll know it'll be a tough game. They know what to expect up in Ballyfey, but hopefully Harps can get the first 3 points and sort of get themselves up and running.
That's Keith Cowan, former Finn Harps skipper. Now, of course, with Drogheda United, they are in action tonight. Drogheda, that is, at home at United Park as they take on Sligo Rovers. Elsewhere, a sellout crowd of 7,500 is set to watch Shamrock Rovers welcome Bohemians to the Talis Stadium in the Dublin Derby. Shelburne are at home to Dundalk as well this evening. And it is, of course, a double weekend of games, with another round of matches to come on Monday. In the Irish League, the Premiership action for this weekend starts tonight. The leaders, Linfield, are taking on Crusaders. That one starts at 7:45. And the first of the games cross-channel this weekend is in the English Championship this evening, where West Brom are at home to Huddersfield Town. Manchester United interim manager Ralph Ragnick says Cristiano Ronaldo will be available for tomorrow's meeting with Tottenham. The Portuguese star missed last weekend's loss to Manchester City due to injury. However, reports have surfaced Ronaldo's unhappy at the current situation at the club. But Ragnick insists he will be available for tomorrow's clash at Old Trafford.
I haven't asked him if he's happy at Manchester and at this club. For me, it's important that he's fit again and that he resumed for training yesterday. And then we will see with which formation and with which lineup we are going to play the game tomorrow.
To golf, play has been suspended again at the Players' Championship due to unplayable golf course conditions. There has been heavy rain in Florida with surface water appearing on the course. Rory McIlroy is among the players yet to finish his first round. He's at 1 over par with 3 holes left to play. Seamus Power is 1 under through 14, while Shane Lowry completed a 1-over round of 73 yesterday. Tommy Fleetwood and Tom Hoagie have been joined at the top of the leaderboard by Bryce Garnett on 6 under par. Just back to Gaelic games. Tomorrow afternoon at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny, there's a North West derby for the Gaelic Football Under-20 Development League final. Donegal and Tyrone are going to contest the tie for the Leo Murphy Cup. That one throws in Letterkenny at 12 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Meanwhile, our feature match is on Sunday. Donegal are hosting Monaghan in another crucial Alliance League Division 1 encounter. A point or a win for Donegal and top flight status is assured with 2 games to play, while Monaghan need wins from their remaining games if they are to be in with a chance of staying up. Former Monaghan player Dermot Malone is expecting a tight game in Ballybofey come Sunday.
I don't think there's going to be much in it. You know, looking at both teams, they both shipped fairly heavy defeats against Kerry. I think Donegal were beat by 9 points and Monaghan were beat by 8 points. Now, again, Donegal are coming off the back of a great win against Tyrone. Their tails will be up. Whilst on the flip side, Monaghan haven't registered a victory yet. Their backs are to the wall. It's a tough one to call. I had a man speaking to me yesterday from Monaghan who'd be very knowledgeable in Gaelic football, and he reckons that Donegal have not been beaten in Ballybofey in 18 years in the league, so they'll have their hands full. I was talked out around the game last year of when Monaghan played Donegal, and I think Monaghan might have scored 4 goals past them. It's a big, big, big pitch. I'm expecting if weather conditions are any bit dry, it'll leave for an open game. But if weather conditions are quite poor, I'd imagine you could see the bus parked and 13, 14 men behind the ball.
That's Dermot Malone, former Monaghan player, speaking to us on The Score last night. You can watch that interview in full. It's available now in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. That game, of course, throws in 1:45. We will have the build-up as from 1:30 here on Highland. And on the rugby front, England coach Richard Corkrell will miss the must-win Six Nations clash with Ireland tomorrow. He's tested positive for COVID-19. He's gone into isolation after the result was confirmed this morning. All of the other England staff and players have returned negative tests. Meanwhile, Wales face in-form France at Cardiff later. as they aim to keep their slim hopes of retaining their Six Nations title alive. Kickoff at the Principality Stadium is at 8 o'clock tonight. And on the interprovincial front, Michael Lowry will return to the Ulster starting 15 for tomorrow's top of the table United Rugby Championship visit of Leinster to Belfast. That's one of five changes from their one over Cardiff last time out. Nick Timoney and Robert Bellicoon are also back. Stuart McCluskey will make his 150th appearance for Ulster tomorrow. That's your sport for today, Catherine.
Thanks, Oisin. Weather now. Wet at first this evening, but the cloud and rain will clear northwards this evening with some brighter sunny spells to end the day, though with showers following too. Some of the showers will be heavy with a chance of some hail. The closing headlines now, and Ukrainian's president insists his country will win the war against Russia and vowed not to give a single piece of land to Moscow. Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh believes that accommodating Ukrainian refugees here will begin with the school community. Inishowen Councillor Johnny McGuinness is calling for more supports for farmers if they're to proceed with the government's crop growing plans. And €100 is to be provided to every truck over a certain weight for 8 weeks. The Transport Minister has announced an €18 million fund for hauliers, which he says will act as a relief for rising fuel prices. That's it for now. We're back with more at 6 p.m. Stand by. Colm Ferter is here with all the latest in Nuacht, and the obituary notices will follow thereafter. Good evening.
Shaver Mahasa, Colm Ferrett and Sean in the Prief Scalty, Air Highland Radio. Ta jazz skill on the Holisty Gilliga at Tag Toshu Eg A Oskilch Dan Sauru Teresia of Leon, Le Kestia Brescia or Fu Suis Le Kerikid Shaska Mila Euro, Kurha or Foil Fuishkame, the Volamori Gilliga. Shin Ardu, the Jai Fuingid, Erin Jontus Lehul, at a Kurha or Foil the Highly Geltakta, a Kurin Lostin or Foil Dan the Holisty Gilliga. When we turn is Sharkhead Chile, Geltakta, Clarihe, Lish, Run the Geltakta, Fuinch Game, Lyasas and Ardu Shaw, at a charity vime, or one lighter, as a Shaw and Cade Ardu at a Cadihe, Egan Run, Eriontus Neskema, Lakuig, Bliana, and Nuas. Tan Kyoltor Umretcha, Maredni Weenie, Capi Mer Aliantor Conihe, a G Tech Gidor, Renew Ia in Shalavu, Go Hafigul, Eg Okaj Kyol, Jahina Shai Hart. I say Sean Cade Ur Arriva ta Alien Tor Conihe, Lonihe Samol Nualiakta G Tech, Taharig Sul Gugruhahi and Capuhan, Jeshina Kyol Tradition ta Neherin, a Chlostal, Ijimpulakt Fjontriakta G Tech Gidor, Major Larechis Urus Nigeltakta, Beirol Ur Alien Tor Conihe, Larna Major Lataku, August Naska Urbirch, Leshin Yeligers and Coulter August and Pubble. Tan Kenyu Glaki Iglornigil, Branu Nashinta, Dushina and Chamortish, a Agru Erisheol La, August Fidami Marta in Gidor. Erlua Oskion Shaskamila Euro, Edna Dushina at her foil, August is on a Ogrifer and Butcher Nashinta. Fogrifer Butcheri Dushina, Ranoga Egsula and Chamortish on Chamai. August ta okaji shartin na gelige chartin yis and you a caru gigi a hocht jan hart na oskult na fela gohafigul and ashlan rana farstja branu na gomortus alinia august scrivenrakta drama le skull Oliver Plunkett august branu parsa rana farstja na bliana. August Tatranigest Agriha Komai Egan Shibin Kyol Nadunov Lahi McClafferty Mar Aran T. August Iglahanye a Hugged Fosta a North Bay Prab Geltakta on an Austin Dillon Letcher Kennan Emak Social Tatnyva Condinius Bragu Tusakar Leshankora in Yelig. Shin Mahodsha Eligulier Slan August Banakt.
The obituary notices for Friday evening, the 11th of March. The death has taken place of Lexi Robb, Killyclug, Letterkenny. Lexi's remains will repose at his late residence from 6:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Sunday afternoon for service in Trinity Presbyterian Church at 2:00, followed by burial afterwards in Gortley Cemetery. The death has taken place of Gerald Jerry Brown, formerly of Glenbrae Gardens, Derry, and Ardbeathen, St Johnston, County Donegal. Funeral from his daughter Geraldine's home, 20, Prehan Park, Derry, tomorrow morning at 20 past 10 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Eugene's Cathedral. Interment afterwards in the City Cemetery. The Mass can be viewed live via the church webcam. The death has taken place of Mary Margaret Fallon, née Toland, Mallon and Ballylosky, Carrandonagh. Her remains are reposing in her home in Ballylosky in Carrandonagh. Funeral leaving Ballylosky tomorrow morning for 11 o'clock Mass in St Mary's Church Lag, burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has taken place of Marion Breslin, Upper Drung, Quigley's Point. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Sunday afternoon at 20 past 12 for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Columba's Church, Drung, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral Mass can be viewed live on stcolumbasdrung.net. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.